Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back with a Survivor exit interview. And today we are going to be talking with the first player voted out from Survivor 42. And that is Zach Werdenberger. He was voted out 5-0, made history. First unanimous vote out in Survivor history. We will talk with Zach in just one moment. Of course, Jackson also went out of the game. We were not offered the chance to speak to Jackson here today on Rob Has a Podcast. I think Jackson has a couple of interviews, if I had to guess. Dalton Ross, Mike Bloom, Gordon Holmes, and that's probably it, I think, for Jackson. So be sure to follow any of those three on social media to keep track of a Jackson exit interview. And of course, if anything newsworthy comes from it, we will course talk about it on the other podcasts. Of course, last night we got it started with the Survivor Know-It-Alls, got Gabby Pascuzzi on the recap, Chappelle on the feedback show, and the brand new Survivor Academy coming up for the patrons of Rob's Podcast, where we are going to go through and take a look, just like future Survivor players like Zach was once upon a time. What should we be taking away from Survivor? We'll talk all that through on Survivor Academy. That's for patrons of Rob's Podcast. You can find out more at robisawebsite.com/patron. One other thing that we are going to have exit interviews on video this season. So if you'd like to watch the video edition of this conversation with Zach, you can head on over to our YouTube channel. That's at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube, and be sure to subscribe when you're there to get everything we're doing on video, where we do so many of our podcasts. There's a video edition available for you on YouTube. All right, let's go ahead and connect with Zach, who's here on the line. Hey, Zach, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Can I ring the bell for you?
Yeah, ring it. Ring it. A couple times. This is my only opportunity.
I mean, let's not get carried away, Zach.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Do you want to ring the bell?
I don't have a bell.
Okay. All right. Do you want to?
I'm not a big enough patron for that, unfortunately.
Okay, Zach, what do we say to start the podcast?
You know what's funny? Can I talk about that scene for a second?
Sure.
That was a redo, actually.
Okay.
Because Jeff was like, Zach, I know you've been dying to say it. And I was like, say what?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the words. The words. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting him to like put me on the spot like that. So then I said them, and luckily they got rid of that part.
Okay, well, Zach, I know you said that you made history doing being the first person to get voted out unanimously last night. Put that on the Survivor Wiki. Something else for you to put on your Survivor Wiki page.
What was this?
That you are the very first person that I've ever done an exit interview with here on video on Zoom.
Oh,
in 12
really?
Years.
Wow. First yeah. ever video. Oh my God. I didn't even do my hair or anything.
So you've made history again, Zach. I just want to say, you know, I know how much it meant to you to get to be on the show. I'm sure you must be very disappointed. How have you been processing this whole experience?
I've really been so happy with it overall. I mean, it's like, you know, the game itself didn't go how I wanted it to. I really feel like I had, in terms of my Survivor experience, I mean, countless good days and then like a single bad day that, you know, I got to replay in my mind for quite a bit after. But like in terms of the show and after the show, and now it's been like 10 months since then, I've really been able to like come to terms with everything and accept it. And I'm just so thankful for the entire opportunity.
Talk about the bad day. What exactly happened that really sent your game into a spiral?
I'm trying to think of like another word for Tori, but I can't really put it together.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Tori was a big one.
Can you explain what happened? Because on the show, it seemed like that you didn't seem to be in a lot of trouble. And then the show sort of made it like, oh, well, he didn't do great at the puzzle. But it seemed like that you were way behind in the puzzle anyway.
It was an excuse, obviously. And like, that's what Survivor is. Like, obviously, I didn't actually lose the challenge for my tribe with that puzzle. But I knew that was going to be the narrative because it's a very easy thing for people to point to. Tori then immediately goes off with Drea, leaving the four of us. So we have to kind of talk about like, okay, well, who are we targeting now? And even though I did really like Tori and I did really want to work to her with her up to that point, I was kind of like, all right, well, if it's going to be Drea or Tori and there's more movement towards Tori, I guess it has to be Tori there.
Yeah. So you feel like that she just threw you under the bus sort of as a self-preservation because people were talking about her?
Well, I did, as you can see, she never actually says my name in that moment to Drea. So I think there was a part of her that was protecting me. That being said, her immediately pulling Drea away, who I knew she'd been targeting, who I knew she had beef with, who I knew like could have been the person that me, Tori, Swathi, and maybe whoever targeted, because we could have been targeting Drea at that first vote. I would have been very happy with that. So when Tori instantly pulls her away, instantly I'm like, oh, wait, Tori is not with me.
When you watched the episode back on Wednesday night, were you surprised to see that Swathi also threw you under the bus very quickly, where it seemed like that based on the episode, it seemed like, oh, the young people really have a bond?
Yes, I am actually very surprised to see Swathi. And Swathi's amazing. I love Swathi.
No doubt.
Yes, but I definitely was surprised at the speed at which she was willing to be like, we don't need Zach. Zach's fine. We don't. Zach's, that's good. So I can't wait to give her shit for that.
So you also talked about Roxroy and the way that he was putting together the shelter. You felt like that. Has this guy even seen Survivor before? Because that he was coming on so strong. Just, you know, basically, we got the montage. We didn't get to see what you saw. Can you tell us a little bit more about what it was like in the construction of the shelter?
So there was a moment. We were working on the shelter. If you stopped working on the shelter, Zach would be, or not Zach. If you stopped working on the shelter, Roxroy would be like, Zach, come on, man. Come on, man. We got a shelter to build. Come on. We got to build a shelter, guys. Come on. Seriously, we have to build a shelter. And there was one moment where Roxroy gets taken away for confessional. And all of a sudden, we're playing Survivor without Roxroy for maybe like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And that was 30 of the most fun moments of my entire life, where we literally were all like, let's go to the beach. We like jumped into the water. We were swimming around. And then we see Roxroy like coming back to camp. And we're like, oh, everyone back to the shelter. Everyone back to the shelter.
Yeah.
So that was my experience with Roxroy.
It seemed like that you had a really nice bond with Romeo, who, based on what we saw in the episode, looked like that he was trying to save you. He was trying to get the votes to be swung onto Tori. Just how tight did you feel like you were with Romeo?
I felt like I was really tight with him for 2.5 days. And then I kind of realized that even though I was very tight with him, and even though I was kind of going to protect him over anyone, he was going to protect me over two people. Mm-hmm. Because he was clearly tighter with Drea and Roxroy. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't necessarily a reciprocal alliance in the way that I had thought it was. He definitely was fighting to keep me, but it was not over Drea and it was not over Roxroy.
So going into that tribal council, obviously you must have felt like your back was against the wall. You played the shot in the dark. I mean, you must have been surprised to see where you played it at the first tribal council. It really only got played once in all of Survivor 41. What made you feel like that the shot in the dark was the right thing to do at that first tribal council that you went to?
I mean, it was just basic, like, strategy for me. I was thinking like, all right, we're in this situation right now. The votes aren't being split. This is going to be a unanimous vote because people don't need to split the votes because they know that like even if the shot in the dark got played and worked, or if an idol got played, that Tori would just be the one who went home. It would have been totally fine. So with the knowledge my vote wasn't going to matter there, I was always going to play the shot in the dark just to like slightly increase my odds.
Mm-hmm. And so hypothetically, had the shot in the dark worked, then do you think that Tori would have been the person to go home based on that? I guess it would have been a revote.
100% Tori.
Mm-hmm. Were people kind of hiding it from you that it was going to be you, or did they just basically tell you it was going to be you no matter what?
They were hiding it. They just weren't doing the best job at hiding it. Mm-hmm. You know, well, when Swathi literally can't look you in the eyes after like being friends for, you kind of get a sense of like where her vote's going. And if you know where her vote's going, you kind of know where the rest of the votes are going.
Looking back, Jeff asked you to start off the show Zach, what does it take to win Survivor? And then you felt like that you didn't really have the right answer. If you had a mulligan on that, if you had a do-over on that one, what would you have said differently?
What would I have said differently? Honestly, I loved my answer for that. Mm-hmm. I was very happy. I felt like it was very me. God, if I could do it over. I don't know. I just would have read the bio of the winner and just basically been like this exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in the preseason, we heard you talk about how you had written down some stuff that Shannon Gus had been talking about with Harry on the podcast. What other kinds of prep did you do to come out to be on Survivor?
You know what I think was a poor piece of prep that I took from Rob as a podcast? Not blaming you guys, because I know that like this was me.
But
from Taryn with his Big Brother stuff, he would talk about in Big Brother how it's good to kind of have someone that like, you know, have a clear target so that people know where your cards lie mm-hmm. on the show. Mm-hmm. I don't think that applies to Survivor at all. And I didn't fully embrace that, but I didn't really have a relationship with Drea out there. And I felt like for my allies to kind of like have a better sense of where I stood would make me a better ally of being like, oh, okay, we know that Zach doesn't really connect with Drea. Like, we don't have to necessarily worry about Zach going behind our backs with her and like talking to everyone. I thought it would make me less of a target or less of a, what's the word? I thought it would make me less suspicious. Mm-hmm. But I think what it actually did was then make it really easy for Drea to want to get me out.
Okay. I will pass that feedback along to Taryn. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Zach, we saw on the episode where that there were three players who went off during the first challenge, and they were gone for a long time, seemingly. They came back covered in mud and also apparently bleeding profusely. Did you get to ask Drea any questions about what had gone on?
No, I honestly, I don't think they went far enough with it. If I was out there, I would have literally like covered my face. I would have done it. I would have dislocated my own shoulder. I would have been like, oh, wow, this is really the craziest challenge of all time.
Mm-hmm. In the immunity challenge that you participated in, just how grueling was it?
Oh, that was the worst experience of my life. That was genuinely, as someone who would never quit Survivor, would never even consider it, I'm pushing this freaking boat. And I'm thinking to myself, like, why did I think I could do this? Why did they let me onto this show? Mm-hmm. I was really insane. And also, I think the important thing to note about it was meant for six people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because Jackson got pulled, we had to do it like undermanned. And Ika's already undermanned. I mean, we have two undermans on our tribe. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was always, I think you play that exact challenge 100 times. I think Ika loses it 100 times.
Yeah. Is there anything about the 3 days? Was it 2 days or 3 days that you were there?
Three.
Is there anything that you feel like that you wish you would have done very differently?
Can I, before the game?
Anything you want. This is your exit interview.
If I could do anything differently, I watched Sequester season 3. And that changes a lot. Because obviously, as a super fan, I know Sequester. I'm very aware of it. My mom watched Sequester. Mm-hmm. She would have immediately recognized Tori.
Give it up
Tori.
For mom, yeah.
If I had recognized Tori and been able to out her as like she was on another reality show, she knows she was like the sneaky one on that show. She's complete chaos. That, I think, would have fully turned the tides against her.
So
I can't believe that my flaw in this game was not watching enough reality TV.
Oh, so you didn't watch Sequester is what your mistake was.
I knew of Sequester. I'd always been meaning to watch it. I had a whole quarantine to watch it. Never got around to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you think that would have been able to turn the tide against Tori?
If I had been able to at that tribal council mm-hmm. or before out her as a Sequester player, mm-hmm. then I have. Meanwhile, Roxroy would be like, "We all did the Sequester, but mm-hmm. yeah, it would have.
Yeah, and so
it would have helped.
So, correct me if I'm wrong. You were the one that mentioned to Tori that people were talking about her looking for the idol, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and then do you feel like that had you not said anything about it to her that it would have been easier to have the target stick on Tori?
It's possible. Yeah. Yeah. I think that that's definitely, if we're looking back at like what my worst move was, it has to be that. There's no real, I mean, I can go through my justification for it, which I thought was very valid, which is Tori was someone I was really close with and someone I really wanted to work with. And Drea was someone that I had absolutely no relationship with. Mm-hmm. So when Drea is telling me, like kind of throwing my close ally under the bus, I felt like, oh, let me let my close ally know about this. So one, it doesn't get back to her that I was involved in these conversations. Two, strengthen my relationship with Tori, who I did plan on working deeply into the game with. And three, to get more heat onto Drea, who was someone that I wasn't going to be working with. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I understand why I did it, but at the same time, it did give Tori the ammunition she needed to really, you know, throw me under the semi.
How hot was that heat on Tori in terms of her going off and looking for the idol?
It was hot on Tori, but I would say it was also really hot on Drea. They didn't really show this, but Drea was, for a lot of the time out there, the other name that was being thrown out because it was Tori versus Drea. It was Tori versus Drea, which is why then when Tori's like, Drea, I need to speak to you. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh no, because I was planning when I got back from the immunity challenge to work with Tori, work with Swathi, see if we can pull over Romeo or Roxroy and try to get Drea out there. And that instantly changed the moment that we saw.
Who were the people that were saying Drea's name? Was it Tori?
It was Tori. It was me. It was Roxroy. Yeah, it was the three of us.
Okay. We didn't get to see when Drea returned from Shipwheel Island in the episode. Was there a lot of suspicion about what she told you guys when she returned?
I cannot believe that, yeah, they did not air that, because Drea's lie for us was really something. She was like, oh, you know, it was the worst experience of my life. She's crying. Just put this visual into your mind. And she was like, you know, we arrived. It was me, Jenny, and Marianne. And we climbed all the way up this mountain and we got there and there was nothing. And we climbed all the way down the mountain and we went back to camp. And I was just sitting there like, and they're going to fill a commercial break with this. Like that's what new era is we're getting like little nature trails. So, and then she was like, but I now know there's something hidden on this island. Mm-hmm. And I was like, stop. No way.
Yeah.
Somewhere here, there's something hidden.
And did that increase the target on her back when you're saying that Drea was somebody people were talking about?
It increased the target on her back, but at the same time, it made her a lot more untouchable, because we're thinking to ourselves as the young people, we're like, okay, this is a 3-3 split right now as we see it. And Drea has something.
Yeah.
And we don't know what that thing is. And it's probably an extra vote. So we all realized we were in a really bad spot because she went on that hike. And then unfortunately, the young people kind of fell apart because of it.
Zach, I know you we're running out of time. You have a lot of interviews to do today. Is there anything else that you want to make sure the fans know about your experience, your time on the island?
Anything else that I want them to know about my experience? No, I mean, I had a great time. Sure I'll stick around to some capacity.
Yes.
So,
well,
I'll certainly.
Yes. Well, I have loved watching your TikToks.
Oh, thank you.
You've been a very good sport. I know that this is not easy to be the first player that's voted out in a season. And I know you are handling this amazingly. And I love your enthusiasm for the game. It's infectious. And it's been so nice to get to talk to you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah. All right. Best of luck, Zach. And keep in touch, okay?
Yes. Rob, I'm going to, well, yeah, you can put this in or whatever. But I want to go to New York.
Okay. All right. Well, let me see if you're allowed to. Okay. All right.
Okay. So,
Zach, you take care. Okay. All right. Everybody, there you have it. Zach Wurtenberger. And boy, that was really fun to get to do these interviews on video. Got to see who I'm talking to on the exit interview for the first time. So really a totally different experience for me going through it. And yeah, I just think Zach seems like such a nice guy to have been on the show, and seems like a totally good sport. Again, as I told him, this is not easy. I have seen 41 other people deal with this, and some do a better job with it, but I think he has a pretty good outlook on the whole thing. Another person that always has a great outlook on everything is going to be back. Jordan Kalish will join me to talk about some things that went on This Week in Survivor History after this quick break. All right, everybody, here on the Exit Interview, you know what we like to do. We like to bring in our resident keeper of all things Survivor history. We'll bring him back, smash the hourglass, because we're traveling back in time to talk about This Week in Survivor History with Jordan Kalish. Jordan, how are you? Happy new season to you.
We are back. We're getting Kalish back.
Yes.
We're here for Twitch, baby.
Yes. Okay. We're here. I know that Jordan is very excited for Survivor 42. Every time he goes to Citi Field, he takes a picture with the giant 42. Of course, Jordan, welcome back.
Yes, I would say I'm more of a Monument Park type guy, and I take a picture but between Mo and Jackie Robinson, the two 42s that we love to love. But yeah, I am very excited, and we had a great episode last night. Really pumped.
And much like Mariana Rivera, Jordan is coming in to close out our Exit Interview podcast with a few different facts from Survivor history.
I thought you were going to say, much like Mariana Rivera, I'm a legendary closer, best at my position in this field.
Certainly. Yes. That's what everybody's saying.
Yeah. They call me the Mariana Rivera of Survivor podcast. Mm-hmm. And we're here again. This is why we've been doing this for so many seasons. When was the first time? Was it like Blood versus Water?
What is this? This Week in RHAP History?
It's This Week in Twitch History, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We should become a more meta podcast, I think.
Yes. Impossible. Okay. Yes. So if you're just joining us, okay, Stu makes the pizza and Jordan is going to talk to us about something that happened on This Week in Survivor History. And then I'll get a question and you can play along.
Yeah. And if you get a question right, you get a slice of Stu's delicious pizza.
It's not guaranteed. Okay.
Well, I'm saying you, Rob.
How was your off season, right, Jordan? I'm sure everybody is wondering, what's Jordan been doing the last 3 months?
So I had a nice off season. It was like, I would say we got pretty lucky with the calendar of like Omicron sort of falling in between the two seasons of Survivor this year. I'm going to be back doing my New York viewing parties, which I'm always very excited about. We kind of got lucky there. So I spent a lot of the off season kind of indoors being careful, but now the numbers have been going down. I was in Arizona for my brother's bachelor party.
Oh,
that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I went to Las Vegas and now I'm back teaching, starting my coaching next week. So it's been busy. It's been, as things have gotten a little better. Luckily we were able to do my brother's bachelor party without a hitch. Had a great time. Now we're back.
All right, let's get to it. Let's get to it. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go.
Are you ready for there's only one other premiere, Rob, in the history of Survivor. That occurred this week in Survivor history. It's a late premiere. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go to, actually, for all of these questions, we are going to Survivor Game Changers. I have three questions for you, but don't worry, Rob, they're not all necessarily about Survivor Game Changers. They all relate to Survivor Game Changers.
Okay.
So here's your first question.
Okay.
We all remember this very, very memorable premiere in Survivor Game Changers, which premiered on March 8th, 2017, 5 years ago Tuesday. Sierra and Tony were both voted out by the Mana Tribe in the double premiere.
Mm-hmm.
What is the only season in Survivor history with a double boot premiere night in which the two players voted out at Tribal Council were from different tribes?
Okay.
So they were from the same tribe in Game Changers. Other times in Survivor history that we've had double tribals where the same tribe went to tribal, voted out two people, but there's one season where the two boots of the premiere were from different tribes. And let's just get this out of the way. I'm not counting whatever that weird first vote in Blood versus Water was. That did not happen at Tribal Council. We're not talking about that.
Okay.
We're talking about Tribal Council votes.
So you're looking for a 2-hour premiere.
Yes.
Where we had two tribal councils.
Yep.
And the two tribal councils were different tribes. Because I know Survivor Gabon is like, but I believe that the Fong tribe goes to both those tribal councils. I know we have, going back to in Survivor in Survivor Kagyan, where the Brains tribe goes to two tribal councils. So looking for a 2-hour premiere with two different tribes going to tribal council. And does it have to be 2 hours?
It has to be an episode in which both tribes went to tribal council.
Both tribes. Now, are we looking at last season in Survivor 41, where two tribes went to tribal council in the premiere? Loophole. Uh-oh.
Okay, there's two
seasons. Not the answer you were looking for.
There's two seasons where this happened. I think I didn't actually look at it. So that is correct, Rob. So that would count. There are two answers to this.
Okay, and then I would say, how about Survivor Winners at War?
Yeah, so
the last two seasons.
Exactly. The last two seasons, that did occur. Natalie from the Sele tribe, Amber from the Dakal tribe went out. There is one other, and this is a follow-up question. You started off on a good foot here. There is one other Survivor season that you have not mentioned. You mentioned Kagyan, you mentioned Gabon, where we had two people voted out in the same night. These are two people from the same tribe. Which one have you not mentioned yet? There's one more.
Two people voted out from the same tribe. Survivor Ghost Island.
That is correct. The Malolo tribe got rid of Gonzalez and my buddy Jacob Derwin. Mm-hmm. Sad night. Two people that I thought preseason were going to do very well, and they were voted out in the premiere. So good start. Let's get to our next question.
Okay.
In the same premiere episode of Game Changers, two contestants went to the first tribal council of the season for the third time in their Survivor careers. One of these people we don't like to talk about, so let's not. Who is the other person? Yes. Who is the other person who accomplished this dubious feat?
Okay.
Third time in their Survivor career. One of these people we're not talking about. One of these people we are talking about, who went to the first tribal council of the season for the third time in their Survivor career.
For the first tribal council of the season for the third time in their career. I'm going to say that I think it was Malk.
So Malk.
Malcolm Freeberg.
I can tell you Malcolm Freeberg was on the Mana tribe that we just talked about that voted out Sierra in the first tribal.
Yeah.
As we know, Matt Singh liked going to tribal council. It was the unintentional Matt Singh in that first season. I don't think they were losing on purpose. And then the Galang tribe, the returning player tribe from Survivor Blood versus Water, did go to tribal council in Karam. Did I say Blood? Galang. I said that right. Let's
everybody be kind. It's the first week for Jordan Kalish.
Edit this out. It was Karamoan.
You're fine. It's fine.
I had Blood versus Water in my head from the first question. Yes. He went in Karamoan, the returning players
got
tribe,
this.
Went to tribal council. So the answer is Malcolm. Correct. Seeds, baby. Yeah. So Malcolm is the answer. You are two for two. You got the follow-up of the first question right as well. So you're doing well to start this new season of Survivor. Mm-hmm. And I have one more question for you. This one is actually going to be about Survivor Game Changers. The other ones were Game Changers inspired, but technically not really Game Changers questions.
Yep.
So here's the question. In the second tribal council of the Game Changers premiere, who is the only player besides Tony himself to not cast a vote against the Vlachos?
I am going to say the only other person besides Tony himself. I know that Aubrey was on the outs, but would Aubrey go down with the ship? I don't have another answer. So why not? I'm going to say Aubrey.
Aubrey Bracco. So I can say that Aubrey Bracco was on the outs. Mm-hmm. Aubrey Bracco is someone who originally seemed to be aligned with Tony, and I think that maybe got her into a little bit of trouble. She ended up getting really far in the game and going deep into the post merge of that game. And I could say, Rob, unfortunately, you are incorrect.
Yes, who is
Sandra
it?
Sandra voted for Aubrey. That was the only other vote that was not for Tony.
Is Game Changers canon, though?
Game Changers, I mean, it happened. I think it's canon. Mm-hmm. Votes happen. Sandra did vote for Aubrey. I think she's probably worried about a potential idle play with when you're dealing with Tony. Mm-hmm. That is a legitimate fear. Sandra was the only one. But Sandra was, of course, the main person who had beef with Tony. They had words for each other out the gate. I really think we missed a great opportunity in Survivor history to have that Sandra Tony alliance, who would become the two players to be two-time winners in this game. Mm-hmm. But again, you've said it many times. I think maybe Tony needed this Game Changers experience to then come back in Winners at War. Mm-hmm. And become the two-time King Llama of Survivor.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, and they got to spend some time together on Survivor Winners at War.
Yeah. They have a
shark
great
together.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Sandra Shark. Mm-hmm. I think you, when you put two personalities like that on a beach together, I think you are going to get fireworks every time. And that could be, you know, maybe a little bit of acrimony like we got in Game Changers, mm-hmm. where they were sort of at each other's throats, or you can get a nice fun relationship where it was pretty lighthearted throughout Winners at War. Those are two people that they're not only great players, they are two of the best characters in Survivor history, and putting them together is going to give you results. So would have liked to see it get a little bit further in Game Changers, but it set up Winners at War, so we're all good.
All right, well, Jordan, always great to hear your voice. Have you back here for some This Week in Survivor History. We'll do this all season long after the exit interview. Anything fun coming up for you?
Like I said, we got our New York City viewing parties. If people are interested, they're new to New York or they're new to being patrons. DM me, hit me up. I will let you know the details for the party. We don't really post about it publicly, but
you have to know the password to get in, right?
Yeah, it's easy to find me. I'll tell you where it is. We have a good time. We sometimes have once in a while. We'll get either current survivors or former survivors to come to the party. No promises, but it does happen. And it's a great group of RHAP listeners and Survivor fans, and it makes the viewing experience a lot more fun. Looking forward to some more trivia, some more mafia in the future. And that's basically what I got going on.
Okay. The great Jordan Kalis. Jordan, thank you again so much.
Thank you, Rob. Talk to you soon.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Jordan Kalis, This Week in Survivor History. So thank you for joining us for this historic Survivor exit interview, although it's probably the same thing to you, but the podcast listener. But again, you could check these out on our YouTube channel as well. robisawebsite.com/YouTube. Make sure you're subscribed to our Survivor podcast feed for all things Survivor 42. That's robhasawebsite.com/Survivor feed. I really appreciate you being here with us. And to become an even bigger part of the RHAP community and interacting with our network of reality TV fans all around the world, and of course, access to our brand new Survivor Academy patron podcast show, head on over to robisawebsite.com/patron. Thanks again. Take care, everybody. Good one. Bye.